Day out there today. I see some redder faces than I saw earlier today, so tells me some of you got a chance to get the opportunity to enjoy that beautiful sunshine, S-U-N. Ain't it great our faces shine in heaven, S-O-N, through that sunshine, right? Yeah. All righty. Okay, I've been working on kind of a theme out of Deuteronomy 10, and then my hope was to get to Micah 6 tonight. We might not. We'll see how she goes, but let's just kind of take a look at the text that I was working on regarding where God asked through the prophet Moses and through the prophet Micah, what does God require of you? Since God makes a statement through two different prophets, probably something we should understand and kind of get squared away, so to speak. So we'll begin in Deuteronomy 10, just kind of review the verses we were looking at. And we're going to read verse 12 and 13 in Deuteronomy 10. He says, "And now Israel, what does Yahweh, your God, Yahweh Elohim, require from you but to fear the Lord your God, Yahweh Elohim, to walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord your God, with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good." She says, through Moses. So turn over to Micah. Going the wrong way. There we go. He's after Jonah. Micah's after Jonah. If you can hit Daniel and start going towards the back of the book, you know, you'll Hosea, Joel, boom, 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 and then you'll hit Micah after Jonah. A few more books in between, but just to kind of help you. We're going to go to chapter 6. And the verse that talks about what does the Lord require of you, what does Yahweh require of you, is in verse 8. And when we actually get to this, we'll read a little bit more context. But for time tonight, we'll just read that verse. In Micah chapter 6, verse 8, "He has told you, O man, what is good." Now, this would apply to the ladies as well. That man's kind of mankind, humankind type of a statement. "And what does the Lord, what does Yahweh require of you?" The great I am. Okay? "But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." So you'll see some similarities there in the walking humbly with your God, as we saw back in Deuteronomy 10. Okay? "But to do justice, to love kindness is the part we will focus on in Micah 6. If we get there tonight, we'll start in on that. I thought I'd be able to do a three-part series on this information. I probably should have planned for four, quite honestly. There's a ton of information here. You could actually go and do a complete class just on that to do justice statement. You could do a Bible class on that for probably 4 to 6 weeks easily, you know, if you actually studied it out. But let's go back to Deuteronomy. We covered verse 12 in previous messages. "Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of me but to fear the Lord your God?" We talked about that. You know, revere God. It's not cringe and, you know, be concerned that he's going to smack you down, but it's a reverence and an awe for God. Okay? "Then to walk in all his ways and love him." Okay, there are ways that he's prescribed that we should walk in, right? And then we love him and serve him, okay, with all our heart, with all our soul. And we talked about that in some of the other passages that had that in there. Obviously, Deuteronomy 6 would come to mind, and what, you know, is often referred to as the Shema or the Shema, however you want to call that, okay? You know, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one," okay? And then it goes on to tell them what to do with their kids and such, you know? Write them on your forehead, write them on your hand, you know, all this other thing. Okay? So we talked about that. With all your soul, with all your mind. It's about putting your being into it. You know, this is not a, oh, I do this from these hours on a one day of the week, you know, like on the Lord's Day from 9 to 12, and then we come and we go from 7 to 8:15, or 7 to 8, if Kevin's preaching, it's 8:30, you know, whatever. You know, it's not what it's about. It's about, you know, really dedicating ourselves, committing ourselves to this. And then to keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes, which I'm commanding you today. it may seem a little repetitious to you because up there in verse 12, he says, walk in all his ways and love him. Okay, now in verse 13, he says, to keep the Lord's or Yahweh's commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Okay, so I'm going to start by looking at that. And depending on how much time we got about 20 minutes. So, you know, actually, we might use the time we have tonight. That's till 8 o'clock, 20 minutes till 8 o'clock. To just cover this aspect, then we'll probably do Micah 6 the next time I'm up in front of you. I just want to thank you all for being here. I really do. I mean, super appreciative that, you know, we make the opportunity to be here for the evening assembly on Lord's Day evening. There are some folks that just don't get here for one reason or another on some Lord's Days in the morning. And Lord's Day evening is where they get to come and receive the encouragement, you know, the equipping that we've had the opportunity, most of us, and the majority of our congregation has the opportunity to receive on Lord's Day mornings. We always have a pretty good, well, not always. Since COVID is, you know, kind of receded, we'll use that terminology for lack of a better. You know, our attendance has risen, and we're back together where, you know, we have most of us together. And that's great. It's nice to see people that, for one reason or another, be what their jobs were. They had to stay away for protection of those they were serving or whatever. I'm just glad to have everybody back together. And I'm thankful on Lord's Day evenings that you guys come back for further exhortation or, again, in the case when Kevin's preaching, to endure sound doctrine. Okay? So, you know, I'm just thankful. I just want you to know that. And I know there's a few folks tonight that would like to be here. They cannot. There's been some activities that were going on today, and one of them was, many of you know, we're very aware of Kendall and Tamina. I mean, they're great servants in the Lord, but we know their family that Kendall's had an impact on winning to Christ, you know, with his mom, Tamara, his niece, you know, Donnie, his dad. He's studying with his other two sisters. Don't know how that's going to turn out. One sister's husband has inquired and been interested, so Kendall's let his light shine before men that he might glorify our Father in heaven, and look at what's happening. I think it's just awesome, just a great, great testament. And there's others that are very active in this assembly getting Bible studies. I just point at Kendall because I'm talking specifically about Tamara had her graduation festivities today, and they had a little party this afternoon where they, you know, we fete her achievements, and then you know, they weren't able to be here tonight because the room that they rented, they have to clean it all up tonight, part of the rental deal. So they really couldn't escape that, get it done, you know, be here, get it done tonight type of deal. So they're not able to be here. But Leanne did tell me, Leanne Lee, did tell me that she's listening. And I told her that I would say hello. So hello, Leanne. I hope you're listening. Okay? And Tamara, just because you graduated your part in, you better be listening too. Okay? So, all right, that's my exhortation and a little bit of an admonition. But again, I'm grateful that I get to stand before you guys tonight and do what I can to encourage you all and talk about what does the Lord require of you. Now, we know we're not under the law, right? We know we're not under the law, okay? But God does lay out some principles here that he talks about. He's going to talk about to keep my commandments and my statutes, okay? So people say, okay, commandments and statutes, not statues, statutes. You know, just like in that old movie, when the lawyer got in front of the judge down in the south, he says, Your Honor, the Utes. And the judge goes, Utes? He was trying to say youths, but where he was from, it came across as Utes. So, okay, you guys spent a lot of time in the sun today. My humor is not working. Okay, yeah, okay, all right. Anyway, so back to this. So verse 13, he says, keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, right? In which there is no variation or shifting shadow. Every good gift. See, that's the mindset we should have when God's talking to us about this kind of stuff. Well, every good gift comes down from the Father of lights. So this is a good gift when he's relaying principles like this in the Old Testament. So these are concepts. Commandments didn't disappear under the new covenant. I know many of you understand it because Jesus, a couple of places in the Gospel of John, makes it clear about, if you love me, that's John 14, you will keep my commandments. And by this is the love of God, if you keep my commandments. That's John 15. Now, we know Jesus wasn't interested in making sure that law stayed forever. He came to abolish it, didn't he? He said, I came to fulfill it so we can get that thing out of the way. But there's still something called commandments and statutes. So what's a commandment? Okay, it's something that has been put forth by God through his spokesperson. And he says, I want you to execute this. This is important. Execute this. The word in the Hebrew, we could go into it, but it's used, I mean, like 200 plus times in the Old Testament. Okay? Statutes, not quite as often. Now, what that is it would be the appointment, the custom, the manner in the way God would ask that to be done. You shall worship the Lord your God alone. You shall serve no other gods, he said, right? Commandment. Under the law, well, how did they worship? 3 times a year, your males must appear before me where I designate, and they will not come empty-handed. That's a statute. You got it? Make sense? Some people say, well, what's the difference? Isn't that repetition? No, there's a principle, and then there's information given on how you execute it, the manner in which God says you execute it. All right? The appointment of how you would execute that. Okay, we know that God says, you know, everything's supposed to be done in an orderly and proper manner, and as I teach in all the churches, right? General statement, kind of a commandment from the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. How do we do that? Well, you can read all the different ways that you, okay, elders are supposed to do this, evangelists do this, you know, teachers do, okay? Manner, custom, appointment, the way things are done. That still exists, see, under the new covenant. So that principle is still present. That's what I want you to understand. So he says, I want you to do this, to keep them. And that Hebrew word, keep there, carries very clearly an idea of this is something that you protect. That's the key concept involved in that word, is guard, keep, protect. See? And then, you know, what does the Lord God require of you? We read, you know, in verse 12 in Deuteronomy 10, and then we look at Micah 6, verse 8, and he says the same thing. What does the Lord your God require of you? Well, what does require mean? Well, that word says, it literally means to tread frequently. This is something you're walking in. So you see some of those old translations where they'll say, you know, the conversation of your life. And we think, what? This is all about talking? It's talking about how you're walking, how you're executing your life. See? So, what does God require you? These are things I want you to tread. This is something you do frequently. Frequently. And I want you to understand this is something I've given to you to protect. To guard. See, this is what he's communicating to us. Rather than him going, you will do this. He's saying, I give this to you to guard and protect. So, you know, I often ask myself, I ask you guys, I've asked others, do we really understand sometimes what we got in our hand with that Bible? The words of the Eternal One who spoke into existence all things seen and unseen. Do we really know what we have? Guys, I just want you to guard and keep these things that I'm giving to you. So I gave you James, the statement from James 1 where he says, every good gift, every perfect thing comes down from the Father of light in whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. He's consistent. He's constant. He says, guard this for me. Execute this for me. Keep this for me. Protect this for me. And he says, it's for your own good. He says, will you not do these for your good? So the question always becomes again, well, is this for my good? Yes. It's the first thing we have to say to ourselves. This is for my good. These principles, these concepts that he gives us, they are for my good. Appreciated Nolan's message this morning when he talked about, And I just went through this in a Bible study with some new Christians that I'm working with on the new creation principles. And I quoted exactly what he did this morning. I said, hey, if you decide you can or you can't, you're right. See, it's all about what you believe, see? And you get to make that choice. So I appreciate his message about you can. See, so when this stuff comes from the Word of God, most people immediately, because the religious marketplace, and we need to be honest, has said, well, that is what God says. And then as I've told you guys, they quote who I call the prophet Yabut, right? Well, you can do this. Keep these commandments and prohibitions. It's for your good. And we go, yeah, but I don't know. Or you'll have a guy say, well, God said this. Says we can do it. Yeah, but we're nothing but a bunch of black-hearted sinners. And that's not what the scripture calls Christians. It does if you're doubting, says you're a sinner. Double-minded man, unstable in all your ways. What does that mean? I'm vacillating between who I am, who I'm not, who I am, who... You know, I tell all new Christians, I don't care what your past life has been. I don't care what your mom and dad said you did, what your brothers and sisters said, what you did, your best friend. I don't care. The only thing that matters to you is what does God see in you? What does God say about you? That's all that matters. Now, does it mean you're going to walk out this door tonight and nobody's going to ever bring up your past that you messed up? No, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, okay, you get a choice. How do I view this? Am I going to listen to them? Or am I going to listen to God? Will you keep my commandments? And my statutes? Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. What were Jesus' commandments? Well, we start with Matthew 28. That's an easy one. Go. You mean I got to leave my house? Go. Make disciples. Ooh. Make disciples. How do I do that? Go to the assembly. Learn to make disciples. What's the assembly for? To equip you for the work of service. That's what it's about. See, it isn't about Nolan and then the guys in leadership getting together once a quarter. Nolan, how many did you save last quarter?
I got four.
Yeah, awesome, Nolan. I thought you were a five bagger, but we'll take four. Mike, how many did you get?
Oh, I only got one.
Oh, Mike. Oh, it's not that. It's about how can we, you know, equip all of us together to go out there and just do what God has asked us to do, execute his purpose. He says, will you keep my commandments if you love me? You'll keep my commandments. Oh. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, right? Upon this hang all the law and the, you know, and the prophets, right? Oh, and there was one other one, wasn't it? What was the other one? Remember that? Jesus, this part of Jesus' commandments. Do you guys remember what came after that? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Upon this hang all the law and the prophets. Oh, and this one too. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's a commandment. How do I do that? Well, you know, is his house on fire? I saw him in a burning ring of fire. He went down, down, down. Those flames went higher. And it burns, burns, burns. Get him out of that ring of fire. Right? Is Drew with us tonight? I didn't see Drew. He's not here tonight. I was going to sing my Commodore song for him, but he's not here. I'll save it for another day. But he's a fit house, right? He's mighty, mighty. The Spirit's hanging out, right? You guys know that old song, right? I know you all want to hear it now. You're like, come on, Kevin. You can't tease and pull it back. Yeah, I can. Yeah, I can. I got the mic. I could do that. Right? But I'll give it to you. It's because he's a fit house, right? He's mighty, mighty. The Spirit's hanging out because, look at my wife. She's not again. She's over here. Because he's a fit house, right? Chugga, 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 look at him now. Chugga, 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 look at him now, right? Hey, you guys laugh, but you remember these. You do. I hear you guys. You know, I know some of the school kids sing some of the stuff that I've done now. Mr. Tool has told me. laws, you know, the commandments, the statutes, the way that God has asked us, you know, how are we appointed to conduct these things, the manner that we can make it happen, the customs that have been developed, the patterns within the New Testament that work, statutes, commandments, and that stuff didn't go away with the coming of the new covenant. The law went away, and trying to be justified by the law, faith has come. See? And that's how we're justified. By faith. Well, again, just go back and look. Jesus says, if you love me, remember we read here in Deuteronomy, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And then he follows right on and says, let me tell you how I know you love me. Keep my commandment. Guard them. Protect them. Okay? And he's made it even easier for us. Jesus said there's basically two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. Oh, and love, you know, that's the whole law and the prophets, okay? And by the way, just love your neighbor as yourself. So if you like being saved, you know, we're going to talk about how do we execute this, you know, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. And that's where Micah 6 comes in, where he says, you know, to do justice. And, you know, just a little teaser for next time we get together. Look at how often, just look up justice in the Old Testament. Just type justice into an electronic concordance. Not now, please. Okay? When I do this, I know you're all like, oh, you know. And watch what follows after it. There's almost always a two-word statement that follows it. And it's, and righteousness. Comes right in on that. Justice is always about righteousness. Okay? And it says, I want you to look at Micah 6 when you go home tonight. Look at verse 8. He says, not only to do justice, but notice what he says. Now, you're supposed to do that. Execute this justice. Got it, Lord. Right? And then he says, love kindness. That's interesting to me. Execute justice, but you better have a real strong affection, real love for kindness, which carries, that word carries a lot in it, that Hebrew word and that concept. Mercy, loyalty, piety to God. I mean, there's a lot that carries that word. Now, that word's not used heavily throughout the Old Testament. It's usually translated loving kindness. We'll talk more about that when we get together to talk about Micah 6. But I want to just read a couple of passages. I spent a lot of time just trying to exhort you and encourage you about laws and statutes. And I want to go back and let's just kind of rapid fire through some passages here in the Old Testament. Let's go back to Deuteronomy. I'm sorry, to Genesis I meant. Then we'll go to Exodus. And then into Deuteronomy. Just some of the Pentateuch, you know, the first five books. Genesis 26 is where I want to start. Okay? And again, this word, you know, keep, observing, protecting, all that. 486 times it's used. Genesis 26. This is about Abraham. Now, I'm going to skip a bunch. We're going to drop down to verse 4. It says, and I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and I will give your descendants. And I believe this is actually seed. It's the word that's used here. Better translation. So let's go back. I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. I will give your seed all these lands. And by your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed me. What did he do? Kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Hey, I didn't think the law came until Moses. It didn't. The law of Moses did not come, but Abraham obviously knew some of the things that God had commanded, starting in the garden. And why is Abraham so revered, and why do we get to be beneficiaries of it? We just read, because Abraham obeyed me, kept. See? Who's the father of the faithful? Who's the father of the... That's Abraham, right? He was called a friend of God. Put that passage up sometime too. Just, okay? Read some of the context. All right. Let's go to Exodus 15. I We're going to race through just a few, beginning in verse 25. This is when the Lord provided water, okay? After they'd come out and they'd been traveling for 3 days in Marah, and there's a bitter spring, kind of the background. Verse 25. So the people grumbled, asking Moses, "What are we going to drink? What do you mean all we've got is Coke? I only drink Dr. Pepper." Right? Then he cried out to Yahweh. That was my, it's not in the scripture, by the way, please. Okay, me being Mr. Dramatic. Then he cried out to Yahweh, and Yahweh showed him, the Lord showed him a tree. He threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. Sweet tea. That's where we got sweet tea. Somebody just forgot to put the R in there. Sweet tree. I tried. Okay. There he made for them a statute and regulation. Isn't that interesting? And there he tested them. And he said, "If you will give earnest heed to the voice of Yahweh your God, Yahweh Elohim, and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes." Is this before they were at Sinai? Yep. "If you will keep, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians. For I, Yahweh, I am the Lord, I am your healer." Right? A couple of examples I'm just showing you. Before the law came, commandments and statutes. See, this is not a law thing, is what I'm trying to prove to you. All right? Law of Moses thing. All right, let's go to Deuteronomy 8. I'm going to skip some others in between. Deuteronomy 8, beginning in verse 1. Deuteronomy 8, verse 1. "All the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers." Remember, the original forefather is Abraham, and we know that Abraham was looking for a city. The architect and builder was God. Okay? So this is really looking towards the spiritual land, even though to your forefathers. "And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God," Yahweh Elohim again, "has led you in the wilderness these 40 years that he might humble you." Remember one of the things in both Micah and in Deuteronomy 10 is humbly. Walk humbly, okay? Okay, "that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." Now, this is to the second generation. The first generation proved they didn't really trust God. When they sent the spies into the promised land, they came back with gigantic fruit. "Sorry, Lord, I'm not a grape man. We're not going in." Okay, so it was more than that. They were afraid of the giants that lived in the land. So, okay, you don't believe, you get to wander in the wilderness, those of you over 20 in this first generation, till all your carcasses fall. Those under 20 that become the next generation, they're going in. So Deuteronomy, second law, that's what that book means, that's what the title means. So he's laying it on. Yes, was the law known? Yeah, it was known at this time, but he's still, hey, there's commandments and statutes, need to be, pay heed to it and remember the lesson. All right, Judges. Chapter 2. I mean, there are just boatloads of these passages you can check out in the Old Testament if you want to do that sometime on your own, just as a study. Check it out. Verse 19. "But it came about," Judges 2, verse 19, "but it came about when the judge died that they would turn back and act more corruptly than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and bow down to them." And that's actually the word for worship. "They did not abandon their practices or their stubborn ways. So the anger of the Lord Yahweh burned against Israel. And he said, because this nation has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers and not listened to my voice, I will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died. Why? In order to test Israel by them, whether they will keep the way of their Lord to walk in it as their fathers did or not." Remember that second generation came out, they conquered the land. They were a good group. Was after Joshua and those guys died, things went, see? So the Lord allowed those nations to remain, not driving them out quickly, And he did not give them into the hand of Joshua. You know why you get to suffer through all the things that the world gets to suffer through, brother and sister in Christ? The very same reason here. He's testing you. This is our test. It's time for the household of God to be judged first, right? Peter says. Well, where does that take place? Right here and now for us. If we make it through this, home we go. So the household of God is always tested first. What does he do? He says, here's my commandments, here's my statutes. They're there to test you. I just want to see if you believe me. Will you do what I ask? Do you believe that I've given you the things that are good for you? Back to Deuteronomy 10. For your good, do you believe it? Or do you, like Saul, 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 why do you kick against the goats? Because they're so sharp. I wonder why I keep getting hurt. Well, maybe you're kicking against the goads, So there's a bunch more we could look at, brethren, but we're out of time. We're 8:05. I just want to, again, one other thing I do want to just make a quick mention of, and then we're going to close this up. If Drew was here, I would share this again. I did with him the evening he was immersed by Lorenzo. Good job, Lorenzo. Good job. I told him when I was talking to him privately, I said, Drew, your name gets changed when you become a Christian. He's like, yeah. I said, but I got a good news, bad news thing here for you. Oh, yeah? I said, yeah. You're a saint now. You're not a sinner, you're a saint. You're not a whiner, you're a winner. You're not a victim, you're a victor, right? Going through all that. I said, but. You notice I didn't quote prophet, yeah, but. I said, but. There's this lion prowling about. And he's seeking someone to devour, and that's a Christian. So your name gets changed not only to Christian, the name that was promised to Isaiah, I'll give him a new name, right? The prophecy. Your name is also changed to Target, not the department store, Target, by the devil. And so if you read Revelation 12, you know who he goes after to make war with? Those who keep the commandments, statutes of God. So how important is this principle? Really important. Really important. I just want to leave you with that. Really important, this principle. So appreciative of you guys. Really am. And for your attention. Why don't you stand? We'll pray. Lord God, Christ Jesus, you are the eternal Father. You are the mighty God. You are the Prince of Peace, the only one that can bring peace. You are our wonderful counselor. You have identified yourself as one and the same with the Holy Spirit. When you spoke to your apostles and your disciples, you made it clear that you would come back to dwell in them. You also said you and the Father. So the Scripture has rightly given the definition of you, Lord, in reference to the indwelling of you in us as the fullness of deity. I just am so thankful that your fullness resides in each Christian. You have said you give your Holy Spirit to those who obey you. When we believe you and we respond to the gospel call, and we obey, you come to live in us. That's just an incredibly, it's mind-blowing if we really think about it. But you do live in us by faith. So I'm thankful for that. So Lord, you live in my brothers and sisters by faith. So how you see me, I see them. I'm so thankful that we are interested in loving one another. To demonstrate to the world, let them know that we are your disciples when we show our love for one another. I'm thankful that this body, in particular, is just, we are so good at building relationships that are more than superficial. They go deep. We are in each other's lives. We care about one another the way you wanted it. We are indeed family. So that song that was stolen years ago by those sisters in Pittsburgh, Lord, they stole it from you and they said, we are family. We are family. I'm so thankful that we're together tonight. Just thankful for the the technology we have that can be used in a positive and righteous manner, that we can get this message out through the internet to those that are unable to be here who want to be here. And I just pray that those that have the opportunity to listen in are encouraged, as I hope my brothers and sisters tonight have been encouraged. Father, thank you again for the great gift that you have given us of your Spirit, that down payment, that pledge, that guarantee of the hope of glory to reside with you forever. Please bless my brothers and sisters as we depart from here and help us all to have a great week. And just thankful again, Lord, that we are the privileged people that can raise our voice, approach the throne of grace at any time to find help or mercy in a time of need. What a tremendous, tremendous privilege and blessing. We praise you again, Lord Jesus, that you have made it all possible, and it's in your name we pray.